want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hi, everybody. Johnny Aids here.
Oh, no.
Now, you still have your cold, I see.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You are highly perceptive. Thank you, Mike. Let me save everyone some time. The Golden Globes were not worth our time.
Yes, the Golden Globes sucked.
There was one moment of greatness.
Uh-huh.
And it was only a two-second moment.
But don't sell it short, because it was short.
We're going to have to sit through about 38 seconds of preamble.
We can do that.
To get to the 2 seconds that's great.
All right, then.
Which seems to be about the ratio on the show anyway. So here we go.
And now, best supporting actor in a series or TV movie.
Here's the outstanding group of nominees. Sean Hayes, Will and Grace.
Yeah, right. He's good.
He's an actor.
Please.
Michael Imperioli, The Sopranos.
Ooh, all right, Christopher, I like him.
That's Christopher.
Jeremy Piven, Entourage.
Hey, Jeremy Piven, love.
Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven.
Oliver Platt, huh?
And he's fantastic.
Oliver Platt, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, he's all right. What about my
William
man?
William Shatner, Boston Legal.
Now, those are your nominees.
And the Golden Globe goes to William Shatner, Boston Legal.
Right.
Excellent.
William Shatner, recently on this show. Good guess.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the only highlight from the Golden Globes.
All right.
He wins the Golden Globe.
Right.
Here's what he says when he gets up on stage.
William Shatner.
That's it.
That's not something he said later.
No,
that's
right.
Not something he said in the middle of his text.
That was the way you would answer a phone. Like, you'd call somebody and they'd say, hello?
William Shatner.
He's reflecting his character from Boston Legal. And I guess the fact William that he Shatner won the Golden Globe means he's not a has-been.
Right.
His song,
William Shatner. Shatner.
Yeah, there he is.
William Shatner.
William Shatner.
And then he goes on.
Then he goes on.
Want to thank the wife?
Yeah, okay.
The wife.
That's that. Julia Spiewak this weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen,
in her NFL picks, she is a 4-year-old prodigy,
and the tough part is over. So I mean, now it's it comes down to the championship games, and
she's already picked her winner. She's already picked Pittsburgh and Atlanta to win.
It's anybody's ball game, and she's a big winner so far.
So just want to note that Julia Spiewak got all 4 games right this weekend. A 4-year-old got all 4 games right.
Rob, you go home to that baby this evening and you say to Julia, Uncle Mike wanted to know what it feels like to be a winner. Okay? Because he really doesn't know today.
That's a clue. You know American Idol is back on tonight, right? Yes. Everybody knows
right.
that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Simon and Paula and weird-looking Randy.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, there we go.
I'm Scott Shadid.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills and personal banker to Granny.
Oh!
Granny.
Yeah, I see fish.
Yeah.
I have American Idol groaners for you.
These are going to be great.
I'm...
What music mogul always charges an extra percentage?
Which one?
Randy Taxon. T-A-X-I-N.
Yeah, right.
Sounds like one of those commercials for ED on NFL telecast.
Yeah.
My husband takes Taxon, and now he's crazy.
Yeah, I understand.
What TV host has the worst cholesterol?
What?
Fryan Seacrest.
Oh. Are we going to choose whether it was the service or wrong?
You'll be able to at the end of the segment.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Now, you are bailing on this bit already.
Yes, I am.
Would you rather I simply play the jingle and go to the music?
No, even when I bail,
see,
I'm with you.
Yes. I know you are.
Yeah.
And let me take a moment to say hello to those who serve, especially four boys from Bowie, Maryland.
Amen, brother.
Who made their way back home today.
Welcome back to the bosom of their family.
Yes. These groaners are dedicated to the sports junk eye.
Excellent.
What 80s singer is the most boring?
Which one?
Paula Drabdol.
Oh, pain.
Only one more completely lame American Idol groaner.
Lay it on us.
What TV star is the most absorbent?
Which one?
Simon Cowell.
Hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow. Okay. Those are bad. Randy Taxon, Brian Seacrest, Paula Drabdol, Simon Powell. That's good. Buzz. All four are from one or the other. Either from the stupid service or from stupid Rob.
They're all groaners. I'll say a stab in the dark. Brian Seacrest was Rob's.
No. They're all from Rob.
Oh, they're all from Rob.
All from the service.
Oh, well, in that case, they're all from Rob.
Mike.
I think they're all from Rob. No.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, you guys got
everybody.
It.
Brian Seacrest. I'll see you out in the hallway.
Hello. You know the one that really cracked him up was Simon Cowell.
Hello.
Yeah, my favorite though of all.
Yeah. He's calling me with the stuff.
Hello.
Paula Drabdol.
Hello.
Paula Drabdol. You know Paula Drabdol.
Scary.
Oh, hi, John Kerry.
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yes, let's get retarded. Here's the thing.
It's the true story. He's a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate. His soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Mike?
Yes.
Did those groaners give you the blues?
They sure did, Rob.
And I'd like to dedicate this open to Phoebe. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Whatever you do is okay with me. And all the ships at sea. Thanks, you enjoyed them at the Tsunami Telethon performing with Nora Jones. It's Don Geronimo and Big Mike O'Mara!
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you for listening, everybody. The Don and Mike Show right here.
Hello!
Let's get retarded with a brand new episode on this Tuesday, Oahu 18:05.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
And running.
8 months until my birthday.
And running.
That might be the earliest ever.
Thank you.
That's terrific.
Thank you, Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Tuesday.
No copying.
January 18th, 20-05. Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. From Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067. In D.C., 202-432-1067.
Well, you're feeling better, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You're at the end of this. You might sound a little raspy, but you're at the end of it.
Yeah.
But no longer fluish.
No. And what a weekend. Uh-huh. You would think, even being sick, that I wouldn't have anything to tell you. But here I am, loaded for bear.
All right.
Brief stories, because a lot of my time was just spent in bed.
Just brief.
But stories that involve myself being insensitive and... You're going to enjoy this. A nice story involving my vehicle.
Yeah.
My vehicle.
Really? We were comparing notes. So you were involved in something?
Yes, I was.
Oh,
like, you see, I think that we have different vehicle type notes and stories, though.
I think so.
Mine didn't involve being... Wait, did yours involve...
Say something like yours didn't involve breaking the law?
No. Well,
yeah,
that's one way of putting it. I wasn't ticketed for my offense.
Yeah.
Were you ticketed for yours?
Unjustly.
As always, Mike.
Right.
But, well, listen, they're totally different. I'll just say, you know, Friday, that I was sick. And, God, even people that don't listen to the show know it, because I said it so much. It was like being broadcast. People are getting it through their toasters.
And people at home didn't get the benefit of hearing you during the commercial breaks,
no.
Which was a symphony of symphonies that I don't think I've ever heard out of you.
Sorry about that, but I felt fluish, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, feel better now, but the problem was over the weekend that all I did, seriously, was get in bed. That's the type of flu that I had. And Rob, not even that was going on.
Well, that's why you're here and better today, because I really believe that's what you had to do. I think I said, you know, get some rest.
So you climb into bed, and if you're sick, and then you just veg out until you have to get out of bed to go to the bathroom, and then you go back to bed.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting the thing. Is it starve a fever, farm a fever?
Beat a cold, starve a fever.
That is correct. Brett, farm a fever, whatever it is. I'm doing the right thing. And I said to my wife, I said, Saturday, I felt like Elvis. Remember when Elvis went in the hospital and said, as soon as I wake up,
feed me a cherry pie.
Give me a cherry pie. I said to her, this was Saturday evening, and I've been out of bed on Saturday. I've counted up 3 hours total that I've been walking around and at least not in the bed, but other than that, in bed.
Right.
I said to her, I need you to wake me up. This was halfway through the Steelers-Jets game, and I stayed up for that. He said, you got to wake me up by 8:30, because I want to watch the Falcons game, and I want to have something to eat at that time, and I'm not really sure exactly what I want, but I don't have any taste or any smell, so it's got to be something very hot, like hot wings, or get me a hot roast beef, get me something.
Hot
well,
food.
I go back, and I go back to my deathbed, and I'm awful when I'm sick. And
did you want hot like spicy or hot like temperature?
Both.
Yes. All right.
I wanted hot temperature and I wanted hot spicy because I wanted to break up this junk that was in my nose.
Right.
So I go back up and I'll give my wife credit. You know, she gives me absolutely no nursing at home when I'm sick.
Right.
And that's the way that it is, and I'm cool with that. The problem is when I'm really sick, the reason she does that is because when I've got like a hangnail or something, I do turn into a drama queen about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this past weekend, see, the problem is I'm like the boy that cried wolf. This past weekend, I really was deathly sick, and she would say to me, I'd be laying on the couch or laying on the bed with the Afghan around me. Going,
yeah.
She'd say, how are you feeling? I would go, I don't feel good. And I know that she gets fed up with this.
Uh-huh.
You know, anybody would get fed up with this. And that's why I was mad.
Well, you've been sick for how long?
Mike, that's why I'm Johnny Age. I've been sick now for
months and months. 3 months.
It went away for a little while, then it come back.
Yeah, it comes and goes.
So
it was 2 months before we. was it October? No, it was November.
It was December.
It was December.
It was You know what? It was right after Thanksgiving.
It was after Thanksgiving
that it started, and it never really went away. And I get better, and then I don't. But I'm off point here. The point is
that your new expression is
everybody says that now. That's the new. It's got to stay on point.
Get back on message.
So that's another good one.
Uh-huh.
Right, stay up. So I'm just a jerk because I'm sick and I'm mad that I'm sick. And what's eating me up is that it's a 3-day weekend.
Right.
Not that I'd be doing anything anyway, but I can't even get the energy to get my big ass out of bed to watch these playoff games that I'm dying for.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers game, it's tied up or the Steelers are losing. You know what I do? I fall asleep. Now you got to know I'm sick if I'm falling asleep during a football game.
Right.
So I say to Frida, you wake me up and I need the hot stuff and I need the spicy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She wakes me up maybe 12 minutes late.
8:40.
Like, yeah, I don't know. The game's already started. The Atlanta game has started.
Right.
I come downstairs and I am just not pleasant because I'm mad.
Yeah.
And I say, the game is already on. And she says, oh, but I went to the store and look, I got you the spiciest hot wings. I got you the pepper things that you want. I got you a roast beef sub. And she was watching the tsunami show, the tsunami telethon.
Fundraiser, yes.
Okay, now, even today, that I'm not feverish now. I feel 1,000% better. Mm-hmm. I thought the show sucked. Mm-hmm. I watched it. I thought it sucked. Mm-hmm. However, being as I was in this mood that I was in, I launched into a diatribe about this show that I had not... Oh, I won't say everything, Rob. Okay. But I launched into a diatribe about this show. About what crap it was, that it was just NBC just manipulating NBC, that that Brian Williams is on and Jay Leno is on.
I have to say that in your condition, your depleted condition, you weren't feeling entirely charitable?
No, I was not. And the more and more that I stood there and waited for my food to heat up in the microwave, and I watched the parade of celebrities come out, Bruce Willis with his kids, Clint Eastwood, all of these celebrities, I'm sure that they mean well, but really... Oh, if you want to do something, just give your own money and get the hell off my television.
Well, if I can clarify your position, which has always been your feeling was that you'd like to see all these celebrities maybe whittle down to a smaller list of celebrities, but have all the celebrities tap into their vast financial resources.
Because what we're doing is, rather than say, we elevate these people in our society
to where,
you know, it's Bruce Willis and his kids that are named like Velveeta and Hershey's Chocolate and whatever he's got the kids' name.
It's the culture of celebrity,
and,
yes.
You know, and they go, "Hi, I'm Bruce Willis. Now, because I'm cool, I'm going to read to you from a card, and these are my kids who are on TV, and, you know, a lot of people died, and I'm a cool guy, so why don't you donate money, because I'm a cool guy, and now we're going to fade to black, and here's another act, because..."
Just a little bit of what you were giving...
just a little bit. And I critiqued quite a few celebrities who I thought really didn't care.
Uh-huh.
Celebrities who were there to be on the... like I said... David Spade. I said, they're talking about David Spade in the same breath that they're talking about Brad Pitt.
Uh-huh. He was on the telephone?
Well, he was one of the people answering the telephone.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised that he didn't say no.
No.
Sorry. It's a great campaign. It should be acknowledged.
I was very mad about this telethon, because I was very mad about everything, because I was very mad that I was up...
You were angry.
12 minutes late, and I was sick, and I'm missing the football games. And then as I was leaving the room, I just said something to Frieda, like, "Haven't we all given enough already?"
Oh, now there you're
wrong. And I know, listen, I know I am. That's why I'm telling you now.
But you were depleted. You didn't mean it.
You weren't feeling well.
I did not mean it.
You were feeling crappy. You wanted to say something.
But I said it.
Mean as you could.
I said it. I said...
We've all done that.
I said, everybody's given enough. I said, if these celebrities would just give half of what they're making for being down there today, nobody would be hungry in the world. I said, as I left, and I stormed back upstairs with my cup of whatever it was, microwaved garbage. I went upstairs, and 2 days of just no bathing and bathrobe and you know, that smell, that cheese.
Sure.
And I've got the awful, sick breath. And she's looking at me. She says, "You don't mean that." And I said, "Yes, I do. Screw them. And that telethon stinks." And boom, boom, upstairs, I slammed the door.
The angry man.
I know.
But you had your hot soup. Or whatever the hell you had.
Gruel.
Yeah. You had your spicy gruel. Back to bed with spicy gruel.
I was very angry. I was not a nice man.
Well, you've been sick for a long time.
That was very frustrating.
Driving me out of my mind.
And, you know, I'm there. Well, here's another one of the great things that I said. You know, if they really care, you know what they have a telethon for? Have a telethon for me.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, now, so not only insensitive, but totally self-absorbed.
Get into that, too. And keep in mind, I'm sickly in my bathrobe.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask while you were having this tantrum. What were you wearing? What was your outfit?
Less than fresh? I was wearing, yes, less than fresh. Green Bay Packers pajama bottoms.
A gray Green Bay Packers t-shirt?
Either gray or green Packers. And my Sopranos robe.
And the white one?
Yeah, the white one.
Was it white?
Yeah.
Still?
Do you wear it a lot?
No, not a lot, which is why I pulled it out. And the move that killed me was, besides the bad breath, the fact that I hadn't bathed and my hair was going like 18,000 different ways.
Deadhead.
And when I looked at myself in the mirror, I looked like, you could have said to any, it looked like Nick Nolte's
mugshot.
Mugshot. Right? And here I am, screaming at my wife,
yelling at the TV,
saying, this show sucks.
Raving like a lunatic.
And I said to her, I said, oh, Madonna, imagine all the people. Oh, shut up, bitch. I mean, really, that's what
I said. Wow, they weren't well.
I said, what? They think this is going to help these dead people and their families because Madonna has graced us to sing a John Lennon song? Please, kiss my ass. And they said, you didn't wake me up on time, but I missed the end of the Jets game.
Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I know. Wow.
Maybe the fever was just breaking at that moment.
Yeah, I think so. So I had some heavy-duty apologizing to do.
Right.
You know, the next day, when I will, and here's the thing. When you
to your wife and, you know, the people of the world.
Well, they'll get over it. It was my wife I was mainly concerned about. And I still do feel that way about these phony celebrities and the stuff that they do.
NBC was using it to promote their shows and their stars, right?
Of course
yeah,
they
that's
were.
Something that, you know, I'm sure when you analyze it, and if we're talking seriously about it, if you break it apart and you break it down, I'm sure that even if the celebrities were to give their own money, the money that something like that would generate would be worthwhile. When any good cause gets money, it's worthwhile. But I agree with you 100% when you're talking about they're promoting their lineup. It's like, take that out. I mean, make it completely for
and the
cost, but no,
promo free.
And you know what? Even though I think maybe it's a good thing to have celebrities get on board because they generate interest and they make people donate, it's so difficult to take the self-serving element out of it.
And
you know?
Because they are so goddamn sanctimonious, and of course they are, they have to be because it's a relief effort. You know, the thing is, even like Maroon 5, you know, they come out to sing their song, they got to be all down while they're singing that. You know, now the song that they sang is not the one of their, you know, the hot fresh thing, but it's whatever the song that Wash FM plays.
I think really,
but still,
like,
they're all bummed out. It's like,
of course,
you can see, yeah, we're here doing this, and this is our big hit record, and it's our big break, and our record company got us here. But, dude, we are like so bummed. Mm-hmm. And while that attitude, I guess, should be prevalent at some point, I don't need to have Clint Eastwood, who incidentally is looking great. I don't need him coming out. Preaching to me about this.
Mm-hmm. Because hasn't the response been overwhelming from the United States, from private citizens in the United States, as far as people that have responded to this like we've never responded to anything before.
True. And then, so I was just mad, but that was because I was a flu. I was more of a jerk than ever. And then I found out today, now that I'm feeling better, I'll still tell you that after all that hype, the Tsunami Aid Telethon got 5.7 million people watching it.
Uh-huh.
Now, as I predicted last week, in my feverish state, the game against with the Falcons and the Rams,
right.
21.5 million viewers.
No.
See, that's a mistake by NBC that I pointed out even before I was at my maddest.
Absolutely. If they really wanted to generate some money for this, they should have picked a time when, you know, when the national pastime, as it has become, I mean, is not
They picked
happening.
The night. They picked, I'm sorry, Mike, they picked the night that worked out best, the night.
They named the night.
The night that would work out best for them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the night where they weren't planning to do anything and compete anyway.
There you go.
Right.
And then why not throw out poor Jay Leno? Now, he's the only one that made me laugh when I was mad because there was quite a few moments when Jay Leno is auctioning off some piece of junk, like a coffee mug that some of these people have signed.
I thought he had a Harley or something that he was auctioning.
No, there was smaller stuff as well.
Right.
But on more than one occasion, I saw and Jay Leno with the crazy hair. Like, hair looked like Randy Moss's
hair. Weekend hair.
The hair is going all these ways, and he goes, okay, so we got some items to auction, and we'll be right back. And the camera's still on him, and he goes, well, I thought that this meant, and he's doing the hand motions, I thought that this meant we're going to break. I guess we're not going to break. We're alive. And you saw the true abilities of Jay Leno.
Yes, to think on his feet.
Come through, because it was, it was all, and that's what made me smile.
Yeah.
That's what finally made me laugh after I was so mad about this stuff.
So you would be more supportive of these events if the celebrities would just get up and make complete fools of themselves.
Yeah, or just get the...
That would please you when you're sick.
Get the biggest of the celebrity. And here's the other thing that Frieda said that I bit her head off on Saturday night during this, about this telethon. Because they're showing the shots of all these celebrities in a room. And there was the guy that I like from Sideways, Paul Giamatti, who was back there. And I think I mentioned Brad Pitt, all these, right. Tom Selleck. Some of them were not on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Frieda said to me, well, now, why don't we just call? I know we've already made a deal. Why don't we just call? Maybe we'll be able to talk to one of these people. And I turned to her, and I'm rarely am I this honest with her. I said, how stupid are you? And she didn't say anything, because I never talked to her like that, really. She said, what do you mean? I said, even if a low number of people are watching this, I can't believe that right now, out of everybody in America, only 26 people are calling, and that's why there are 14 celebrities that aren't answering their telephones. I said, you got to go through some kind of phone bank. She said, yeah. Well, this would be a fun game. Why don't we just call and see if we get a celebrity? I said, you're not going to call and get Nicolas Cage.
If you donated like 10 grand, you would.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works. That's exactly how it
Well,
works.
I had a fever, Mike, and I wasn't...
Well, no, I'm not asking you to donate 10 grand. I'm just saying that that's how you do it.
I thought it was a random thing. I didn't know... See, and they should... Are you sure about that? Do you have to give...
I know that on other telephones... Yeah, we've got a telephone expert here. We've got Rob, who's worked the phones. You and I have worked the phones. We worked the phones at one, and that's how they put people on with us if they,
but they made
a big donation.
But they made it out during the tsunami thing, like, hey, just call the number. The celebrities are here.
Right, right. So, well, that's how they generate.
Well, that's how they get. See, that's bad, too. And I'm not even feverish today.
Well, they said 5 million viewers. Did they mention the dollar figure as far as how much money they raised?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Don't have that yet. Do you have that, Blake?
I haven't seen anything on it. I'll check into it.
Nor have I. And the other comment about that, George Clooney had what appeared to be an ace bandage around his neck.
Yeah, he got into it with O'Reilly.
I wish. Oh, I saw him.
They actually wrestled. Auto-erotic asphyxiation. That's all I have to say.
I saw Bill O'Reilly's robotic introduction of Gloria Estefan.
And now here she is. I didn't talk to Clooney.
One of the best of all time.
Right. I'd like to mention I'm on at 11 o'clock at WJFK.
So that's all about that. Okay?
I've heard the radio station is now highly entertaining.
So I was mad all weekend and sick all weekend, and then this is, and you hardly ever hear me say this, but this is, I'm positive, where karma comes into play. Mm. Karma, 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 karma chameleon.
That's right.
I have, thanks, Rob, they rock. And this weekend, I missed you blind.
Oh, no. Well, I was at the Church of the Poison Mind.
You know why? Because I really want to hurt you.
You win.
That's it. I'm out. I can't contribute to this one.
God, I could think of another one, but never mind.
Move away.
What?
There was one called Move Away.
Don't know if I remember that as a big enough culture club hit.
Hey. All right, Bullock.
So I've gone through this weekend, as I've told you, where I was just a jerk. And a jerk to everybody and anybody I spoke to. It was just awful.
Did it come around and help you out?
No, it didn't, Mike. It was yesterday morning.
Yes.
One of the other things that I was mad about over the weekend was when I would watch Channel 5, our Fox station, and they said, snow. And then they said, maybe a dusting. Then they said, maybe an inch. And then there was no snow. There was nothing. And the lead on the news was, beware of black ice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the black ice.
Right.
Ooh. Hello there. This am the black guys. So, again, I got mad at them. We're watching this. I said, God, this is all they got. You know, I love this station, but God, if it bleeds, it leads, and we didn't even get any snow, blah, 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 blah.
The only snow that I drove a lot this weekend, the only snow I saw was pretty well north of Baltimore, or actually maybe even south of Baltimore.
So I am in the car yesterday morning, and by now I've turned the corner to where I am now. I'm at least...
You're ambulatory?
Yeah, I'm functioning. I'm high functioning.
Uh-huh.
I'm sick, but I'm not sick like I was.
Have you scrubbed yourself?
Always, Mike.
Ready?
Always.
I'm
doing it right now. So I get in the automobile, and I'm on an on-off ramp to get onto a freeway.
Okay.
One of the highways.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard this thing, black guy, yesterday morning, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I'm coming around the corner, and it's indeed, there's some kind of sheen on the road.
Printed around our area as it is in most of the country right now.
Blackish in color.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't notice that. No. But you know, the road is black.
Right.
I didn't know.
Exactly.
That. I just see
being
that there's...
I'm on New England, the land of black ice, and you know, also with a doff of my cap to my mom, who, when my brother-in-law warned her about it, thought that there were three black guys out in the driveway. That's what she...
Oh,
she
black guys,
ooh,
not black.
Good heaven, no.
You know, she thought that someone was greeting her, so she didn't realize it was dangerous ice and could kill her.
Hello, Barry.
Yeah, that's it. What it is it looks like the road. That's what makes
right.
it dangerous. That's all it is. It looks like the road,
mm-hmm.
and you can't tell you're on it.
I'm on a stretch of road where the speed limit is 35 as you're going to enter onto a major metropolitan highway.
Mm-hmm.
I am doing below the prescribed speed.
Good.
I'm doing about 30 because everybody in front of me is doing about 30, and I'm doing that thing in my head where I'm saying, you know, I'm in the double yellow line. I can't pass. I'm saying, come on. What is this? It's not even sprinkling out. The speed limit's like 45. We're going 32. I don't think anything about it until we turn to get on the ramp to get onto the highway. And at this point, it's going downhill. The ramp is going downhill to merge onto the highway. And as I'm at the top of the hill and start to go down, I notice beneath me there are, and I counted later, 8 cars that have already slid into each other. Now, here's the timeline on this, okay? Real lifetime, all of this happened maybe in 12 seconds.
Right.
But when it happens, it's so freaking slow motion. And I know everybody's been in this situation. I get to the top of the hill. I see all those cars. Then I realize,
no.
I'm sliding down this embankment, this hill. I'm sliding down. And in front of me are cars. Now, they're still maybe, I don't know, 30, 40 yards in front of me.
What's it like, a drain pipe or something that it, like, they put ice across the roadway?
Not exactly sure what it was.
With water, because there was no precipitation at all.
That it caused this.
Was it a prankster?
I don't think it was a prankster.
It was somebody who dumped out their big gulp.
So anyway, and the cops are already there. Because now, as I'm... and. I'm sliding, I'm over on what I've pulled off the road now, and I'm on the shoulder,
right.
on the grassy area, but that's just as slippery as the road was. So now as I'm going down this hill, you realize you have no control of the vehicle.
Almost none.
Absolutely none. Mm-hmm. And all it says on my car, I'm looking...
So you went over to the grassy area, would you get back on the road again?
Oh, no, hold on a second. So I'm at the top of the hill.
I'm just confused as to where you are.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been in about 8 different places here, and I'm trying to figure out where your car is.
I'll tell you very succinctly. I'm at the top of the hill.
Right.
I'm starting down the hill when I see the 8 cars in the road.
Right.
What I do is move my car to the left and attempt to drive on the shoulder.
So that you're not going to slide.
Correct.
Right.
This was great.
Yeah.
A great move.
Right.
None. Except there were trees on my side.
Yeah.
Okay, there were trees to my left. As I passed these cars, and this was a brilliant move, with state cops out there with their flares and the lights and everything on.
Yeah.
A cop was watching me as I was, because I was at the top of the hill, and I see him up there like this, doing his thing. Like,
don't go back.
He's giving me the, you know, don't come down this hill sign. We've not had time to come up the hill and put up the flares.
Right.
But it's too late.
Yeah.
So as I'm going down the hill, I'm thinking, here's what I'm thinking. Christ, I'm going to wreck my car. Christ, I'm going to die. Christ, I feel bad. Is this because I said all this? I was really, is this because I said this about the tsunami show? I'm thinking these things. As I'm sliding down and I look at my car and it says, traction control activated.
So you're still in the grass?
Yeah, which means, so I'm sliding.
Do you know what you're supposed to do when you get into that?
Oh, tell me, Pat Goss, what? I'm sorry, I don't know.
When you are in snow or the way...
This is ice.
But when I was, like, on an icy surface and I couldn't move, the only time I got moving is when I disengaged that traction control.
Well, it went on by itself, and all of this happened I don't know.
When you are in snow or in or the way.
This is ice.
But I when I was like on an icy surface and I couldn't move, the only time I got moving is when I disengaged that that traction control.
Well, it went on by itself, and all of this happened so quickly. And I mean, really,
you know, you still have a little of that hostility from the weekend.
Do I? Sorry,
just a wee bit.
This is helping.
Is this helping you purge? Or
yeah,
out of your system.
Yeah, because I'm getting somewhere with it.
All right. Well, what happened?
You know, Mike, I'm sorry. Maybe with your cat reflexes, you would have been, you know, able to push the button and avoid hitting the four trees that I hit and bounced off of.
Now,
by this point, I was going.
Why didn't you listen to the trooper?
By this. At this point,
he was waving his hands above his head.
I was going slow enough because I had moved off the pavement. I'm now on, as I say, on the grass, which is very slippery still.
Right.
Because it's got this covering. And I'm going only now about 7 miles an hour.
I wouldn't have said anything if I knew you hit trees.
About 7 miles an hour. And I'm trying to turn my car to the right because I'm sliding towards these trees. So the good news is, I'm going to show you this, Mike, with my hands.
Okay.
The cars are here.
Yeah.
I'm going past the cars, but I'm sliding so much to the left that it looks like I'm going to go head-on into a big-ass, gigantic tree.
Oh, my God.
So now I'm like, this is worse. All these thoughts in my mind.
Yeah.
This is worse than if I would have hit a car.
And meanwhile, you got the trooper there, too.
Yeah. Now, about 30 yards in front of me, there's a cop, and at this point, what can this poor cop do? He's just watching me slide down the hill. So I go, boom! Into the first tree, and it's like being a NASCAR, because what it does is, boom, it ricochets me the other way.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, now I'm dead, now I'm heading at 7 miles an hour towards all the cars that I had been trying to avoid.
Right.
So the state trooper, who is now definitely within the eyesight, is almost like you would when he catches a speeder, you know, when they stand in the middle of the street.
You get your wheels in that direction.
Point you over. Yeah.
What he was doing, he was standing there going, you know, like I'm an idiot, which I am. Go that way. Go that way. Trees are better than cars. I mean, he's viciously giving me this.
He doesn't want you to pile into those with your heavy vehicle.
So I turn the wheels to the left, and sure enough, 7 miles an hour, I get out of the way, but I've overcompensated. Rather than just move them a little bit, which probably would have straightened me out, I go careening into and then hit my second, my third, and my fourth tree.
Because you have no traction at all. Your car is basically on an ice rink.
Because I can't stop it.
Yeah.
So I get, after the fourth one, the car stops because now there's a big-ass tree that's right in front of it. I mean, I've run into the fourth tree. The other ones I've hit on the side. This one I've hit full on the...
Now, the part you didn't say is that the whole time you're doing this, your accelerator is to the floor.
Yeah. Here's the jerk move. So,
not feeling well.
The cops... No, this has nothing to do with not feeling well. It's just what I did. Mm-hmm. I guess what I should have done was stayed right there and waited for someone to come over to me.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was...
You should have done is stayed in your road.
Not bad.
What I did was I sat there and I thought, huh, I don't feel bad. Car doesn't appear to be that wrecked. I mean...
You probably, 7 miles per hour. I mean, it wasn't severe,
so
in fact.
I back it up. I put it in reverse. I start back down the hill again. And as soon as the car takes maybe 5 inches, starts rolling ahead 5 inches, I think, oh, no. Can't do this. But now it's too late.
Because
now I'm rolling, and I'm driving.
Well, you've got to clear the ice at some point if you get back on regular road, right?
I finally was about 20 feet away from the pavement where the cops were, where the cops had the flares out.
Yeah.
And as I'm coming down, Now the cop that had been waving me off the road the other way before, he sees I'm coming back down, and he's trying, and he's doing a good job. This officer did a great job of navigating me through this. Uh-huh. I made it to the bottom of the hill.
So we never got there.
I make it to the bottom of the hill, right, where there's, it's dry pavement. There's
right.
nothing.
Good.
I get out of the car, and the state cop, Maryland state cop, very nice, comes over and says, "Are you okay?" First thing. And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." I said, "Coming up over the top of that hill, man, there was no warning." He says, "I know, we've closed the road up there. We have troopers up there now. I saw you come up over the hill." He was real cool until he said, "Why in God's name, after you had stopped your vehicle, why did you start it and come back, start all the way back?" I said, "Because I thought I could just drive out of there. It was 20 feet from where I was to dry pavement." He said, "It was 20 feet of ice."
Yeah.
He said, "You just came down a hill."
It sounds to me like whatever was on the pavement surface also spilled over onto the grass surface,
yeah,
and so, you know, that's why you had your problem.
Bingo. So then he made me sit in my car for a while.
But no ticket or anything like
no,
that?
No, no ticket. You know, they didn't ticket anybody in that thing. And all those other poor people that like, got hit. But what, Robbie?
Did he tell you to sit in your car and think about what you've done?
No, he didn't. Took my information and said, just, you know, have a seat, son. So he came back, and then he said, "All right.
Step out and move away from the car, sir."
He came back and he said, "Everything's cool." He said, "You just got to be careful with the weather gets this, you know, this cold or, yeah, or whatever." I said, "Okay, see you later." And
yeah, we've moved out of like snow being the problem in this area now. Now we have to worry about cold temperatures.
Right. Yeah. So then I get in my car and I'm driving away, and I'm in my I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I see now that there are like 25 cop cars there, and there are the big Department of Transportation trucks there, and there's all the. And I'm driving away, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm a pretty lucky son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm doing pretty good.
Not only are you not injured, but you're on your way.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I hear this big... And I pull the car off on the side of the road, and I notice that in my zeal to leave, yeah, in my zeal to say that my car was fine, it's not because it's wrecked, the front end was bent back, and that was the sound of the front end ever so subtly digging into my front tire.
Oh,
yeah.
So you did do a little damage.
Yeah, well, I was able to fix it with the tire iron.
Well, you got a bitchin' set of tools.
I just went out to the front of the car with the tire iron and just
pried it,
pulled off a big hunk of the front of my car.
Did you ever get to where you were going, or were you just going out for a drive?
I'm just getting out because I've been inside for 3 days.
Out of the house
because I've been sick for 3 days.
Wow!
So I just peeled this big piece of, and you know when you peel off the front part of a car after you've been in a wreck,
right?
You realize that it's really made out of like
sheet metal.
Yeah. And it's like falling apart as I'm pulling. And I'm thinking, this,
it looks nice and shiny, but there's really not too much to it.
Yeah, this is not.
And they're kind of designed to collapse on impact, so I mean to protect you.
Right? Well, they did it. And it did, and here I am today, and now my
survived.
My car is busted beyond, well, not beyond repair, it'll be repaired.
It's not total, right?
You no. found your crumple zones.
Yes, and that was my weekend, and I've decided that I'm going to send my car to tsunami victims. What I'm going to do now is actually just put my car in a box.
That will help them. After it's fixed or before it's fixed?
Oh, before it's fixed.
Your generosity has no bounds.
They're just going to get it money.
before it's fixed. Send it over there and let them give the relief stuff in it.
What might be nice is maybe they'll fix it and send it back. Thank you for all your support. Yeah. We fixed your car.
Yeah, it's always about what others can do for us.
We've done plenty for them. He said that.
It's okay. I was feverish.
Right.
I was feverish. Boy, what a bad weekend, though. What a bad, bad weekend.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, I commiserate with you. It was.
Well, you didn't have it. Well, no, I take it back. Oh, I got one more thing, and then I'm done. The last injustice done to me happened when my wife, my wonderful wife,
right,
gave me a pair of those $10 magnifying reading glasses that you can buy at CVS.
Uh-huh.
And you know why?
Why?
Because even after my laser eye surgery, I can't read the goddamn newspaper now.
Mine's faded, too.
I can't read the goddamn paper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you have the cheapy deepy kind?
No, these were the prescription glasses I wore before I had my eyes corrected, which means now I'm totally blind in one eye.
I said to Frida, where did you get... She said, I got you these glasses because you squint so much when you read the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I put them on and they're like Mr. Magoo glasses. I mean, they
look at me. Look what we have here. Why did I have the procedure?
I mean, it makes the print look like a Dr. Seuss book. It's so big.
Wow.
I said to her, wow, I guess I did need these. I said, I guess this is okay. Where did you get these?
So now she can, like, tape the paper up on the refrigerator and you can go read it from the deck?
I thought that she had, like, gone to the optometrist, right?
No.
She said... Oh, no, I got them.
Can't they get back in there and, like...
Absolutely. Both of our respective doctors, we had different doctors do our procedures, and our eyes and our bodies continue to age, and so the corneas, everything continues to change. It was right at the time they did the procedure, but now he and I both need to go back and have some correction done.
The way you put that, Buzz, puts me into a depression, too.
Really?
Fine.
Oh, that's the fact that we're getting older?
Continue to age.
Deteriorate, fall apart.
So anyway, that was just the perfect cap to a perfect I am sick. I didn't get to see Fat Albert, Martin Luther King weekend.
Franklin glasses.
Yeah, old man glasses, and they're not even prescription.
Right.
She bought them at the drugstore.
Those are good. But now you can see a spider at 50 feet.
Homeless guy glasses. They're the worst, like one size fits all.
Yep.
Here, are you getting old? Can you not read? Try these on.
But it's so convenient. You can pick them up when you get gum.
All right, so that's it. Oh, and the other thing was Xbox Live, which I did attempt this weekend.
Uh-huh.
My wife found the funniest thing on the cover to the book, because I was trying to figure out how to make this thing work through the internet. I had a glitch,
right.
So I was actually reading the book. And on the cover of the book, and I wrote it down, the little pamphlet that comes with Xbox Live.
Instruction book, yeah.
It says, Xbox Live, quote, learn the fun of gaming with real people. And if that's not like saying...
If that's not a contradictory statement...
I'm a loser.
I mean, really, isn't the fun of gaming... Well, I guess it was up until Xbox had to screw with it. The fun was, you know, you're just playing with a machine.
And I was playing yesterday with some, I'm sure, punk kid just killing me. 46-10. And they got a button you can push for friendly quit.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're getting your ass kicked and you just don't want to be a jerk and just bail out.
Right.
So I push on the friendly quit because it was like halfway through the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy writes back, no friendly quit. And then he starts piling it on.
Yeah.
It's like he's going for the bomb.
What, so you try to quit and he wouldn't let you?
Yeah.
No, you can't quit. I'm winning, man.
Napoleon Dynamite wouldn't let me quit.
I'm trying to beat you. God.
Right. Yeah. That's it.
One of those guys is going to come to your house.
That's the weekend. So the car is wrecked. The tsunami victims are doing better.
Yes.
And Mike O'Mara, my man Mike, went to Atlantic City this weekend. And Mike?
Yeah.
Well, I know. You'll tell us when we get back from the break. But everyone wants to know, were you lucky?
Luck be a lady tonight.
Atlantic City sucks.
Okay.
It really, really sucks.
How's it smell?
It smells like someone's rear end.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
A couple of biggins.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, today on the show, giving away a trip for two, including hotel and airfare. Get ready. Fresno.
Hey,
buddy. Fresno, California. A trip to see the WWE Royal Rumble Live at the Save Mart Center. Don't miss the Royal Rumble Live Saturday, January 30th, only on in-demand pay-per-view. Call your local Comcast or Cox Cable System now to order. Digital customers enjoy easy ordering. Yeah, with your digital remote. We'll give away that trip to Fresno later in the day.
When?
Soon.
Can I win?
No, you can't.
Damn it!
But whatever.
Employees are ineligible, sir.
Are people in Fresno eligible?
whatever you do with this contest prize is okay with me.
Fresno, sir. Enjoy your trip to Fresno. Ain't nobody business if I do.
You know what Head did?
And I'm unpacking. And I'm just trying to pack it.
Old Head sends me an email that it makes me laugh. Even when I was feeling my worst.
Better than a whole bottle of aspirin, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
So it just says, click on this. And it says AOL Media Player, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it's the Grease Man's infamous comments about MLK.
Oh, my God. Remember that? That was and he didn't get canned the first time. No.
I had no idea.
It was a surprise, sir.
It's just a note. It says email from Rob.
Right.
Something to make you laugh.
Rob's an elephant. He doesn't forget. That's right.
No.
And I click it on, and right away it's the Grease Man Show.
And as I'm begging, sir.
Hey, I don't mean nothing.
Hey, little lily.
Waddle doodle.
Waddle doodle dee.
Thank God those tapes have been preserved.
That's right. We're going digital with those. We don't want to lose them.
Mike.
Yeah.
Atlantic City, New Jersey.
I'm never going back.
Liar.
I'm not going back.
Liar, liar.
No, I've concluded that I have a bit of a problem.
Oh, no.
I do. I think I might
be one. Just now?
Well, I'll just dial the phone and say, hello, Gamblers Anonymous.
Luck be lady.
Let me ask you a serious question.
Just,
would you say that? Would you have come back and said that if you had won this weekend?
Of course not. No, I wouldn't. I would have come back a lot in a lot worse shape. If you know, my girlfriend didn't actually win something. You know what I mean? What I'm trying to say, I'm not gonna mention numbers, okay? Because if I mention numbers, the listeners and everyone in this room might be a little shocked, okay? But the numbers are getting a little more significant than they should be.
Oh, dear.
Is it something where I, in my mind, it's going to be okay? Do I have a certain number in my mind that when you go to Atlantic City, you should say, I am prepared to lose this much?
Do you?
And here's the deal. I didn't do that this time.
Oh.
I had that in my mind, and I should have stopped at that number, and I didn't. And I didn't. Are you writing down a figure?
Yeah.
You went past the number?
Okay.
I went three times past the number.
Ooh, with your losses?
Yeah.
Actually, no.
Four times past the number, and then came back to simply double that number.
Okay, I will go with my original, because if...
Are you estimating my total losses for the weekend?
Yes.
You are correct.
That's what I wrote down.
You are
Look
correct.
At that. I got that. Go. Nailed it.
And so do you understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about where I was, though?
Yeah.
Where I was double that.
Right. Oh, my God. So you were down...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Yes. That's a problem, don't you think?
I've got the number for you, if you're like.
Yeah. That's a problem. No, but here's, yeah, I know.
You're the man.
But nobody can tell me what to do.
I mean it, you're the man.
Nobody can tell me what to do.
That's true.
I mean, I just do it.
What do you mean? You're the man.
You're
the man.
I mean, but.
God damn. Wow.
Yeah.
And you really have lost.
And boy, do they treat me well.
Please.
Well, no.
For that much, you should have your own wing of the hotel.
All right, I'm going to tell you the whole story.
Okay.
We go down to Casino A, and I'm not going to mention them because I'll tell you why I'm not going to mention them, because they don't deserve it.
Ah.
That would be a plug, and I can tell this story.
But the showboat?
I can mention them because that's where all the bad stuff happens.
Oh, I thought that.
Why mention the good place? Why mention them?
Oh, I see. Seriously, why?
I've already plugged. I give them their plug. Their plug is that they see that I'm checking in, and they're going, oh, give him the good room. He'll be here for two nights. Idiot man.
Wow.
Idiot man who as soon as I win, I lose, you know. Mm. But I will write this down. So what I'm trying to tell you, Don, is that this is what I planned.
Mike, let me ask you one
absolute,
more thing.
Absolute. This is what I planned. Every time I go down. That's it.
And you've not given a penny to the Red Cross yet?
Yes, I have done that. I have done it. It wasn't the Red Cross. It was another.
Good.
It was
very
another.
Good.
But, you know, it...
How close was that donation to any of these numbers? Not very, right?
I'll write it down.
All right, since you want it. Just want to know.
This is just private. With Mike and me.
Okay, now you make me joke. You hurt me.
What's that about?
All of a sudden you're starting to guilt me out on that. That's terrible.
Did you just send them a $5 bill or did you send them a check or what?
$5 in merchandise from the restaurant.
Would have sent them.
You're always going to have a table waiting for you at Hank's Look Around Cafe.
No, I'm just
$5 chip.
I'm busting your chops about
this. I'm down enough, and it's not going to happen again. It can't happen again. It can't. No, because
you felt guilty when you saw the sign by the ATM.
I hate doing this. Listen,
I'm not even saying it. I'm just nodding at Mike. When Mike says it's not going to happen again, I go. Yes, I believe.
Nobody tells you what to do.
Listen, that will not.
That could happen again sometime.
The top one that you wrote down?
Yes, that could happen. That could happen somewhere down the
road. You could lose that amount of money again?
I could, but I can't ever let happen what almost happened. It almost happened that I was, seriously coming back, and it's just not smart. It's not smart. It's fun, and you're going to think I'm full of it, because Carla and I were discussing it over the weekend. We were talking about why it's almost like why somebody goes golfing or does anything else, that it is like the highs when you win are great, but and the lows when you lose you're down. But it's not about it's about playing the games. It's about doing. It's about gaming. It's about doing it. I mean, really, that's what I love about it. Mm-hmm. And
I don't do it anymore. But if you wanted to get high,
yeah.
You could do it for a lot less than that.
For months and months and months.
You could buy a year's supply.
Right. But I do it just because I never want to.
And if you bought the bad stuff, you could go for 2 years on that
amount
of money.
But they call it gambling because you're putting something on the line. Okay. And I put a little too much on the line this time. And that's why. And also, here's the deal. Look, I'm the total rube. I don't doubt it. I tell you exactly what the deal is. I am the classic example of the kind of guy they get. I go up there, I gamble a lot of money. They know that I love being treated well. They do this for everybody that is in that high gambling. I'm not like a whale. I don't do that kind of that you see on all the different shows. Right. But I gamble a lot, and I like the perks.
I bet you're some type of a fish though. With that amount of money,
I believe I am.
You're probably a shark.
I believe
maybe a piranha.
I'm not a whale.
No, those are small. Maybe a marlin.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's bigger than a marlin.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. You're not whale status,
right?
But You're not a goldfish either. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think a marlin maybe. I mean, like, what's one of those big ass swordfish type things?
Right,
hammerhead
shark.
Hold on, you're a dolphin.
I was talking.
You're a gentle dolphin.
I was talking to a casino host. And I was
said it, Buzz.
Oh, I said hammerhead shark. I didn't even think about it.
No, I was talking to a casino host up there.
Click, click, click.
Thank you.
Like the morning I was leaving and talking about my depression about where I had been and how that really freaked me out. And she explained to me that there is a gentleman who is not anyone that's like a captain of industry or anything. He's a guy that comes down there, a retired guy, that comes down there, and every weekend, this was the average.
Okay. Let me see. Mike, writing down another number.
Well, this retired guy.
Every weekend, up, down, all around, but that's it.
That's how much he loses on average?
That's what he plays.
But it's,
and, you know, it can be worse, it can be better, but that's what he plays. Well,
you're not in his class.
No.
However, you are a dolphin.
Yeah, but I think it's time to...
In Atlantic City.
It's time for Flipper to float away. It really is.
You're not a whale. You're wearing the green and aqua, or the aqua green.
Here's the deal. The ups and the downs were not even at a certain point.
The Miami relevant. Dolphins.
I was just kind of in a numb, as I am right now, in kind of a numb thing, It's a depressing feeling. It's not a healthy lifestyle.
You'll bounce back.
Because, you might be surprised. I had a few adult beverages, and especially on Saturday night.
I'll drink to that.
It got a little bit festive.
Oh, my.
And, you know, you're in there, and it's kind of like that.
How many,
yes.
How many zeros were added, though, because of that? I bet you didn't add any zeros onto this losing total because you had been drinking.
Oh, no. I mean,
you can handle your booze.
That bottom number is something that that's where I had been, and I don't ever want to be there again.
No.
That's it. I mean, we all have our zenith intolerance. We all have our limit, and that is that.
So are you now
that went from being, you know, OS
mm-hmm.
to being, you know, excuse me, get yourself into some therapy. So that's where that was. Because I've been doing it a lot. I love going up there.
What are you saying today?
I'm saying that I've got to be careful. I've got to be careful because I didn't get there. I approached total out of controlness, you know. And they call it, you know that new show that's on TV called Tilt? You know what it means? What it means is they say that to somebody when they start gambling, when they're down and they start throwing, like, the kitchen sink.
You know what FUBAR means?
Yes.
Okay. Some people might think that this number that you think is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might think that that's FUBAR or a Tilt number.
Right. Well, no. I mean, it's that number, believe it or not, as silly as it might seem, is not... you know, as far as the majority of the people that are down there, it's that are in that
well,
that
not
roller.
That abnormal. Yeah, right.
No, it's not.
Right.
It's, what amazes me.
But what about for you? What's the number that's right for you?
Absolutely the top number.
So you're okay with that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I am. Yeah,
the man.
Yeah,
you're the man.
That's it.
The limit to go up and down from
That number that I saw. Whenever I go up there, that will be when, you know, I'm done eating for the day when I hit that number.
When you lose that much. Yeah.